Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
And welcome to Onceable episode 93. I'm Brittany, and today I'm joined by Karen, Kristen, Laura, and Jen is trying to make it, but we're having some technical difficulties. Hello, ladies. How is your summer going?
Good so far.
Pretty well, hot. Yes.
Very hot.
It is very hot. This is our first episode since the finale. We're just going to talk about what's been going on, maybe rehash a little bit of what happened at the end of season 5, because we're just about a month out. So, yeah, next week will be a month until the premiere. So we're getting there. And I don't know. It was a rough season 5. So season 6, we have a lot riding on season 6 right now.
It could only possibly get better.
Yeah. Just for fun, if you want to talk to us, you can reach us on @onceable on Twitter, or comment on this post or really any of our Once Upon a Time posts on Hypeable. And, you know, just for fun, let's do thumbs up, thumbs down, season 5. Laura.
Oh, which is the previous season. Yeah, there were some glimmers few and far between that I liked, but as a generality, it was by far the season I disliked the most.
Yeah. is it really possible / okay to give it a thumbs up at this point? There were some bright spots, especially before we went to the underworld, and because all that dark, the history of the Dark One stuff was really cool. But ultimately, when it was low, it was really low. So for me, it's got to be a thumbs down, but you know, it wasn't all bad.
And Karen?
Are you trying to get us tarred and feathered? Like, I feel like there's no diplomatic way of saying this. Yeah, it's thumbs down for me, too. They didn't do my favorite Disney property the way that I wanted them to do. And it wasn't even me just being loyal to the original. It was them ruining my favorite character, which was Meg. And she wasn't even, you know, a shimmer of the person she was in the movie. So that was really disappointing to me. There were some good parts. There really were. And those make me hopeful for season 6. That's why I'm still sitting here. So yes, there were some parts that I think they did really well. But like Kristen said, when it was low, it was really low.
Yeah, I really just wanted to do that, not to get the listeners to turn us off right away, but to kind of like just put us in back in the headspace of where we were with season 5, because we are really far removed from the end of it now, and we still have a little bit of ways to go. But looking back, I think I tried to stand up for the first half of season 5 so much. I fought against every bad feeling I had to be like, but the first half of season 5 was so good. I loved Emma as the Dark One. I loved seeing that side of her. I loved, like, a lot about the first half. There was not a single thing until Jekyll and Hyde showed up that was good after Christmas break. Just nothing. And it was so frustrating and disappointing, and just getting confirmation that Robin was dead and all that stuff. It was just too much. And Zelina was awful and just not fun. And like Karen said, the Hercules stuff was a hot mess. And
I want to say, too, for anybody who's tuning into us for the first time for season 6 and maybe like won't go back or hasn't gone back yet to listen to our previous episodes, we are generally pretty forgiving of this show. We know that it's not like, you know, the best television show ever made. We're here because it's fun and because we really like the fairy tales and the stories that the show tells. And for us to be like, we really didn't like season 5, I just want to throw it out there. Like, there's reasons we didn't like season 5. And I feel pretty validated in saying that I disliked it. But I, at least, I don't want to speak for you guys, but I kind of am wiping the slate clean and coming into season six, like I said, very hopeful. And I really want the show to be good again.
Yeah, that is a great point, because we are very forgiving. And in fact, some of the things that are the most ridiculous about Once Upon a Time are our favorite things to talk about, like timelines and family trees and curses and bad CGI. Those are actually
smoke monsters.
Yeah, those are actually some of our favorite parts about the show, and they are the most ridiculous. So we're not sitting here week after week arguing like, oh, but it doesn't make sense because when they went back in time, they did this, and then in this alternate universe, but in this place, we don't do that. That stuff doesn't bother us. It was a lot of character issues and just unbelievability and the way that they were choosing to make people behave and unforgiving actions that people were taking. And it's a fun fairy tale show. We like to talk about it. We like to talk about Captain Hook a lot, and we loved to talk about Robin, and now we can't talk about Robin. So there are some downsides to season five.
Poor Laura.
I know. I'm so sorry, Laura. So coming out of season five, we have a couple of things that, even though we may not have liked, they're going to play into season six. And the first of those is that Regina now has a literal split personality. There are two Reginas. There's the Evil Queen Regina, who, again, we love weird magic, somehow came to life and killed a poor Chinese man in New York City and is now coming to Storybrooke. And that Regina is going to be facing off against, you know, nice, kind of adapted Regina to being on the side of the heroes. And we're going to get a look at this, like, extreme version of her and what it's like to live apart from that. And they're really going to dive into Regina's character this season, which we know is a huge plus for all of us here. We all love Regina. We think that her storyline is one of the best that's been told on the show. And this is going to be a little weird, I think, to get used to. I'm just curious what you guys think about having these two Reginas. Because we had a bit of a problem going back in time so much and seeing the same rehashed Regina. But now we have that Regina that we love, the Evil Queen Regina, in Storybrooke, and I'm just curious, let's start with Karen, what you think of how this storyline's kind of going to play out in season six.
Well, I have a question right off the bat, and I already warned Brittany that I would have a lot of them, because I think I just wiped my brain clean of what happened in the latter half of season five. Is the Evil Queen version of Regina, is she a separate entity, or is it literally a split personality? I can't remember. Did she, like, reform on her own?
So what happened was they were in New York at the end of season five, and there was no magic around. And so Rumple and Regina went to this man who was able to conjure magic in basically, you know, the land with no magic. And so he, Snow, like, cut, I forget how she did it, but she, oh, it was the, they had the serum from Jekyll and Hyde that separated Jekyll and Hyde. And so Regina had taken that and took the Evil Queen part of herself out. And then I don't know where it went or what happened with it, but she destroyed her,
right?
Yeah, she destroyed her. But then somehow that, like, mist dust stuff or whatever happened was ended up in with this man, and she killed him. Like, she took his heart out and killed him in New York. So I'm not, I really don't, I should rewatch the finale. But that she is, like, alive.
Right. And they are going to be two separate entities, which is what wanted to make sure of. In that case, yeah, I think this is interesting. Regina's my favorite character. Like you said, she's had the best arc, I think, objectively, of anyone on the show, because she's been, while she's waffled here and there with, like, you know, being evil, not being evil, her overall arc has been really consistent in driving her toward this person that she is now. And the person she is now is, it is a reluctant hero, but less reluctant than you would think. I mean, I think she's really found her place in this group of people and has come a long way. And I just I really appreciate her, and she hasn't lost her personality. I think that's the most important thing. She's still very sassy and very funny, and I love watching her on screen. I am worried about it feeling repetitive because we've seen Evil Queen before. Then again, because they're doing it this way, because it's not actually Regina once again struggling with the evil inside of her, because it's actually a separate person who is going to be causing them grief, it is going to feel different. So I'm kind of excited. I mean, they've been pushing the Evil Queen as long as the show has been going. The Evil Queen is definitely one of the biggest draws, and seeing her all over the posters again and having her sort of be the big bad feels a little strange, because it feels very season one. But at the same time, maybe that's a good thing after season five.
Yeah, and she's going to have to learn to, like, face, you know, who this person is. And it is a part of her. And, like, the reason that she took her out was because she was tired of this, like, fighting that constant urge to go back and be evil. And she's like, I'm never going to be able to live without that. Like, this is just, it's a part of me. And now that it's not a part of her, like, should it be, is a big question for her this season. And I'm kind of interested to see. Kristen, what do you think about this?
Well, I think what I'm most interested in is seeing how them being two separate entities changes how the others treat and deal with Regina. Like, they've always, especially in the later seasons here, like, they know that Regina is not necessarily evil. She's gone a long way to prove that she wants to be good and she wants to do good. But they've always kind of treated her with kid gloves because they know that she can be evil. Like, it's still there. Even though she struggles with it and has won, it's still there. So now, with the Evil Queen being an entirely different person and outside of Regina, how are they going to treat her? Is it going to be easier for them to trust that she's good? Is it going to be, like, are they going to treat her exactly the same, and Regina is having, you know, going to have issues with being doubted by them? Like, I'm interested to see how this affects the group's treatment of Regina, more so than even her struggle with taking out, like, her former self.
Yeah, and I really want to see Henry with the Evil Queen. That's, I think, the most interesting interaction that I'm looking forward to, because everyone else has either lived with it or has traveled back in time, or, like, you know, Rumpel was there with her and kind of was the catalyst for whatever happened to her. And, you know, Henry doesn't, he knows why people are afraid of her and he understands it, but to have, like, I want to see them interact especially and just get a good sense of, like, what he sees when he sees this woman who, like, he's like, yeah, but, because he can easily say, yeah, but that was in the past, like, but now to see it in the present and see what his mother is really talking about, I think will be really,
yeah,
cool.
He's always been able to kind of speak, like, from the only person, being the only person who hasn't seen that side of her, like, truly seen it, he's always been able to have faith in, you know, the mother he does know. So yeah, that's going to be really crazy and definitely good fun.
Mm-hmm. And Laura, what do you think about this plot line? I really want to know your thoughts on the next plot line with Zelina, but
yeah, I will say that I'm looking very much forward to the whole Regina and the Evil Queen coming back, just because I think Lana Parrilla is a really great performer. And I think she brings a lot of dynamic interest to that character. And as much as I didn't love the Evil Queen, and it's not my favorite character, but I think it's compelling because Lana Parrilla does so much good with it. So I'm intrigued to see where they will go with that. I'm very interested in that aspect of the upcoming season. Everything else, I'm just going to try to keep an open mind and be along for the ride. Zelina, I, like, intrinsically seem to have a lot of problems with it, but, yeah, I think I just really want to go into this season with an open mind and see what what's going to happen. I'm hoping that we get more of, you know, instead of what's, you know, sort of a cursory tapping at some Disney product that we touch on for 30 seconds and then we forget about these people ever again, I'm hoping they kind of go back to some of those really key elements that I thought worked well, sparked some interest. Like, I'd love to maybe see the Frozen girls back again. I'd love to hear more from Merida. Sure, I'd love to see Ruby again. I think Once Upon a Time has so many characters right now, rather than continuously adding new ones, it helps us to touch base with the ones we know and love.
Yeah, that's a great point, and something I kind of wanted to touch on with a thing that we do know about season six is that Adam and Eddie have said that the season is not going to be split, so it's not, there is going to be the break that we get, those, that very long break in between, but it's not going to be like, this is 5A, this is 5B, like, that we're going to Neverland and then we're, like, you know, going to Frozen. Like, we're not doing that this season. It's going to be one continuous story, which I am so excited about, because I think one of the biggest downfalls of having that split season is like, okay, well, I'm going to forget about these characters in 11 episodes, so if I'm not enjoying them, like, it's whatever.
Right, right. And I do know people that have lost interest in Once Upon a Time because they were like, oh no, once they did that part, then I didn't come back again. Like, I think it's going to be definitely more helpful to them to be more fluid with it. Absolutely.
Yeah. And like, we had that problem big in season five. We're like, what is happening with Camelot while we're in the underworld?
Right, right, right.
And then they're like, we drew a door and they can all go home. So it's like, oh, okay. So we don't have any of those lingering questions or like, how are they going to write themselves out of this one? And it was just that it was becoming poorly executed towards the end. So I'm really excited to just not have that worry this season. Like, oh, if this character's coming in, they have the potential to stick around for five or six episodes or have an arc that lasts all season, which I think will be really interesting. But there are going to be a few that are just like from casting announcements who are like, nope, they're only coming for one. So we're still going to have a little bit of that problem. Hopefully the characters are so minor that it doesn't really matter. But a character who is not minor and does matter is Zelina, who has a new baby, and Robin is dead, and Little John took Roland back to, you know, live in a tent for the rest of his life instead of living with electricity in Storybrooke with a family who loves him. So we are stuck with Zelina, and we're not really sure what the current state is with her. She could be good, I guess. Her and Regina are kind of getting along now that, like, the whole Robin is dead thing and neither of us can ever have true happiness. They're bonding over that. And yeah, so
what a thing to bond over, my God.
Well, it's all we got. That and, like, their mother was horrible. So, I mean, these two are, they have a tragic relationship, and I'm just hoping we don't have to deal with Zelina being like, all right, I'm going to be evil now, bye, because I don't know if I can handle another season of her flip-flopping. I just kind of want her to either be a part of the group or go away. Like, it's come to that with her character. But she's sticking around, and we have a lot of people sticking around from the season five finale, including Hyde and Dr. Jekyll and whomever he brought with him from the portal of the Untold Stories. And we're going to be getting a lot of doctors coming back, so I'm very interested in that element. So we'll have Dr. Jekyll, Frankenstein's coming back, and Hopper is coming back. So we're going to have a lot of doctors, and I'm kind of intrigued as to what is going on with that. Or Dr. Whale, is that his name?
Yeah, Dr. Whale. Yeah. I my favorite Dr. Whale ever still was, and you slip with Dr. Whale, we were cursed. Like, that's still like one of my favorite, like, Mary Margaret moments ever.
I'm so happy Hopper's coming back, though, because Whale is gross. Like, let's just throw that out there. But Dr. Hopper was always sweet and adorable, and he had a really good dynamic with Henry, and I'm on. He has Pongo. I just want to see the dog again.
Yeah, a lot of that, like, season one cast just really gelled well and I think had really great personalities, and that's what made us really love the show to begin with, despite, like, the hokey CGI and, you know, stuff like that. So I think that's part of what just makes it really awesome, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Hopper kind of just, like, drifted into obscurity. Like, we didn't really find out what happened to him. He just kind of slid off into that, you know, zone of unheard from characters, I guess. I don't know. But I'm glad to see he's coming back, because I did like him quite a bit.
Yeah, so we're going to have a lot of people popping in from the past, mostly in the medical field for right now. And the only other thing that's going to carry over from season 5, and I'm going to read it exactly as I wrote it, is Rumpel sucks. So he's coming back. One of the biggest things that I think is really interesting and I'm excited for is that Robert Carlyle is keeping his hair from Trainspotting, and it is really short, and I am pumped about that, because maybe all of his awfulness was in his hair and he cut it off and he'll be better.
Oh. He'll be less evil now that his hair is.
And it's like,
so
and it's really gray. So it's really going to be a different look for Rumpel.
So. It's like that whole Samson thing, only instead of it being his strength, it was his awfulness.
Oh, that would be amazing. That would be
loving
so
it.
Great.
Kind of hilarious.
Yeah, so he's coming back. Belle is still pregnant, but she was in Pandora's box, so the pregnancy was on hold, but she's going to be out of the box now. So
confusing, but yeah. Yes.
But still pregnant, and one of the things that I read, it was in like a hot seat with the creators, is, and it was the only thing that really drew me to this was because Belle still loves Rumpel, and she is drawn to his darkness, was a line that she said, and I want to say I get it, but I don't, because he's so horrible, and I don't find the darkness appealing. Like, it's just his darkness is not appealing. I love the darkness in Hook. I liked the darkness in Emma. I like the darkness in Regina. I don't like the darkness in Rumpel, because it is not,
you
there's
know,
nothing good.
Yeah, you know what the difference is? Those three other characters that you just named were, like, they did bad things for good reasons. Like, when Hook was always sort of this enigmatic sort of character where, like, he was the bad boy, but he kind of had the heart of gold. And even when Emma was evil, she did the things she did out of love and for good reasons. And Regina always had a soft spot, especially when we first meet her, for her son. And there was those moments that gave you a glimmer of hope. There is no glimmer of hope for Rumpel anymore, and I feel like if they gave us one, it would feel so fake at this point, because we've gone through 5 seasons of him flip-flopping, of him being better, of him getting worse, and there's quite a difference between, you know, doing something bad that you think is right, and doing something bad and then hiding it from your wife because you know it's wrong. And the fact that she keeps going back to him is a typical abusive relationship. And I know that the Rumpel shippers aren't going to like me saying it, but objectively, that's kind of what they're showing here. And I used to really like them, and I used to really want Rumpel to be good, because I thought they did such a good job with Regina's arc. And I kind of wanted him to follow a similar path, but honestly, it's too much. I'm ready for it to be over, and I think he's really bringing down the show.
Yeah, I mean, and I would agree with you, and I don't mean that as a slight at Robert Carlyle on any level at all. I think Robert Carlyle, the actor, does a great job with what he's been given. But I think that's I have a similar thing too, like, you know, the darkness of Hook, the darkness of Regina, they had a point where there was, where they thought about something greater than themselves, if you would. Like, Regina had Henry, and she wasn't just thinking about Henry because Henry was making her happy. She was thinking about Henry because it was Henry, and Hook had Emma, and he did think about other people. It's like Hook thinks about Belle because he wants Belle for him, not always because of her happiness. I don't know if that makes sense or not. It's just, it's always constantly, like, he seems to constantly keep going back to this level of control and not wanting to give up control. And whereas everybody else seems to have made the concession to give up what was bad behavior. And when they fall and they make a mistake, they seem aware of the fact that they have made a mistake and it was not the best choice. And they pick up and they try again. Whereas to me, Hook just seems to continuously go down the same path of poor choices and not really learn from his mistakes, or the Rumpel? Lesson he learns from his I'm sorry, not Hook, Rumpel. Sorry, wrong name. But for me, the lesson that I feel Rumpel learns is, oh, I've got to be a sneakier, more connivier liar next time, not I need to continue to improve. Whereas I feel like the message that Regina and Hook have gotten is, okay, like, I made a mistake. I need to improve. I need to continue to work on this. I just feel like, you know what I'm saying, like the message that they have internalized is a very different message.
Yeah, that's a great point. And especially because we see Rumpel who's constantly like, oh, more power will make me happy. More power will make me happy. Not my relationship will make me happy. And now he's reached the point where he's like, okay, I feel like I can reach a compromise by showing Belle that by me having more power and being able to fix all the problems in our relationship, that's okay. So he's trying now to, like, not say, like, oh, no, my relationship now is completely 100% more important to me. He's being like, oh, but if I only had just a little bit more power, I could show her how great everything really is. So he has the, like, their relationship is textbook, like, abusive relationship, and he is textbook addict. Like, it's not healthy for anyone involved. And like Karen was saying, I rooted for them in the beginning because I wanted a change. But when I saw how Rumpel was and he was not going to change, I was like, okay, then just give me this Rumpel, but don't involve Belle. Let Belle live her best life somewhere else, but you can give me this character because I do enjoy watching Robert Carlyle play him. However, now that there's this other strand involved, I don't want to see it. Like, the cost of watching it with what it's portraying, like, it definitely is not worth having it on screen.
I'm pretty sure I've said this for maybe 2.5 seasons now, that the only thing left for Rumpel to do is to die for Belle. And it's like the only way that at this point he can prove that he is not that he's a better man because of her. Like, we have seen time and time again that power is more important to him than just about anything. He acts like she's important, but when it comes down to it, he always has chosen power. At this point, as much as I love Robert Carlyle, I think the only thing left for Rumpel to do in order to make him more than just that jerk who keeps using her is to make a sacrifice, an actual sacrifice, and die for her. I think I've predicted it at least 4 times now, and it almost came true after Neverland. Like, we all thought that that's what had happened, but with the ambiguity of it, we weren't sure if we were going to see him again, and then poof, you know, they found a way. If he makes it through this season and is still around next year, come season 7, I'm going to be shocked, because there's not anything left. Like, I feel like we've seen what Rumpel is, and we've seen that he's not willing to change. So where can you take a character like that?
And I think on the flip side of that, like, if he's evil, make him evil. We all love Rumpel in his evil form. We love hating him as a villain. Don't dress him up as a hero, because we can all see through that. We all know that he's not a good person. So yeah, I think the choices right now that I would be happy with is either make him an outright villain and then defeat him, or, like Kristen was saying, his one sacrifice can be his life for Belle, and then I can forgive, like, I can see, okay, you weren't just evil through and through. This was, like, your one shining moment, and...
Well, it'll be his one moment not to, like, then take it back again right after he's turned
into
a thief. That's what it's going to come down to.
I'm into it, and as much as I want, maybe he can just stick around just for flashbacks, and then we can all enjoy what we love about Rumpel, but not have him in the present anymore. So we kind of touched on a little bit of what we're going to be seeing in season 6. This is just based on news, and there will be a different format. They're not splitting the seasons. And one of the things that they are going to do this season that they have not done in depth is more of an exploration on what it is to be the savior and what saviors are. And so we've really kind of, a lot of articles are like, oh, well, we dove into the Dark One's history and all this stuff. I'm like, well, we did, but I still think there's a lot of unanswered questions about the Dark One's lineage. And, like, you know, we got all the Merlin stuff, and we know the Dark One was created. We got a lot of Dark One last season, and this season it's going to be more about the savior, and is Emma the only savior? And based on the clip that they showed at Comic-Con, that may not be the case, because we have these new characters coming along. Aladdin and Jasmine and Jafar are coming, and in the clip, Aladdin is referred to as the chosen one. So, like, you know, there, how many saviors are there? Is it one after another? Is it you have to be, like, meet all of these qualifications? Because for a long time we've had, oh, Emma's the product of true love, and that's why she has, like, light magic. But is that why she's a savior? Or did Rumpel have something to do with it by creating a loophole for the curse, and, like, that's why she's the savior, because Rumpel sort of wrote her into history? Like, but, or is it deeper than that? And a lot of these questions are going to be answered this season. So are you guys interested in the savior history, or did you ever really think about it before?
You know, I really hadn't thought about it before, which is sort of strange, but I guess I just assumed that Emma was the savior because she was the product of true love. And, you know, not to say that there aren't other stories with true love, but when you're talking about Snow White and Prince Charming, like, can you get any better than that? And I also assumed that this was just sort of like her role for this specific town. Not that it was like, not that it had a mythology or origins or anything like that. But I love the idea of this. I think it's really interesting, especially after seeing the history of the Dark One, which I found very interesting. I would love to dive into this and find out what else is going on and which other characters could be, like, potential saviors, or which ones have fulfilled that role in the past. And I'm getting Buffy vibes out of this. I don't want to say too much because Brittany and Kristen are newbies on Rewatchable, where we're watching Buffy, but it does kind of remind me of the Slayer mythos and how that could potentially work on this show, like, if they have any similarities. So that's pretty cool.
This is the first that I've heard about the Aladdin savior thing. Like, I must have missed those articles. But I love that idea. Like, the whole thing that Aladdin is a diamond in the rough, like, from the movies, and, like, he kind of is, you know, chosen, unfortunately, by Jafar, and because of everything he goes through, like, he kind of is the beacon and the, you know, the shiny light and all of that crazy. So that really excites me, honestly. I never really thought about the savior part of this. I figured she was just an anomaly and was, because of this curse, it needed a single savior, and she happened to be it, and ta-da, there we go. But I love that there is a history to this, and that other stories have a figure, a character just like Emma, or, you know, a version of Emma, and I can't wait to see how that all works in this world. So, yeah, I think that's really cool.
Yeah, and since we're going to the land of untold stories, I think you really brought up a great point when you said Jafar, like, you know, he had to find the diamond in the rough, and it was by Jafar's doing that Aladdin was that diamond in the rough. And if you think about, like, I don't know if this is going to work into what they're trying to do, but with Emma, it was Rumpel's doing that she was the chosen one to break the curse. So, like, how much does the evil, like, you know, have to, like, create these loopholes or give them their destiny? Like, or is it more of a magical thing? So there's a lot that can, another, that's what I like about Once Upon a Time. There's a lot that could happen. It could be anything. It could be a magic thing. It could be a, like, you know, a fate thing. It could be a calling. It could be just someone being like, well, we need something here, so we're just going to write it in and make sure no one asks any questions. Which, that could happen too, because we've seen it a lot of times. Speaking of not asking questions, though, we have a different Jafar, because as some of you may or may not have watched, Once Upon a Time in Wonderland was a thing that happened, and we had a Jafar, but Naveen Andrews, you know, is working.
Apparently didn't want the gig or wasn't available for it.
He is not available. He's on another show. And so we now have a new Jafar who will be played by Oded Fehr from Criminal Affairs.
So my biggest question on this, now I understand there are actor replacements. I mean, there were multiple series that have done this. I mean, probably most hilariously is Game of Thrones, that it's like, are we at Dario like 2.0 or 3.0? And the same thing with the character of the Mountain. I think they only replaced Dario twice, and I think they replaced the Mountain three times during the series. So, like, okay, so like actor replacement happens. That's fine. For whatever reason, it does happen. My larger question with this, though, really is, are we going to forget about what happened, like, in Wonderland? Are we meant to think, like, oh, that was a sideshow, and this is sort of like a J.J. Abrams Star Trek-esque do-over? Or do we carry through? Like, I'm not sure how we're supposed to take this character.
Yeah, that's one of my biggest questions as well, because Wonderland, like, was supposed to have happened, and they've made us very big promises with Wonderland before. Like, we were going to hang out with Will all the time and have not seen him since, so I don't trust anything that they tell us about what they want to do with Wonderland, because I don't think it's just going to come true.
Still bitter.
Yeah, I'm very bitter about this, because Will, like, they had that great scene with Hook, too. They were, like, bros. It was, like, spinoff idea 1000 with Hook and bros, like, I'm really into, like, you know, Hook having a spinoff with, like, David and Robin, and they all hang out. It'll be great. Yeah, but anyway.
Can that please be the title of this episode, Hook and Bros?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yes.
Yeah, so I don't know what we're going to do with the Wonderland timeline, because it also didn't line up. Oh, but speaking of Wonderland and doctors, the doctor who treated Alice is coming to Once Upon a Time as well. I just remembered that. So
same actor?
Yeah, same actor, same.
So maybe they
role.
Will do some sort of bridge with mm-hmm. him in some capacity. I mean, and also if you know, I mean, and I know they play really loose with time periods and things like that, but like very loosely, Jekyll and Hyde and Alice in Wonderland are very loosely in the same time period. I mean, completely different authors and everything else like that and mythologies. But, you know, if you want to be sort of in the same time period, you're loosely in the same time period.
Yeah. And but Jekyll and Hyde are in, this is like where I think there's a big loophole, is because Jekyll and Hyde live in the land of Untold Stories. So they live in a world where, like, the Three Musketeers is existing, and all of these people whose stories were not told, like, live. So regardless of time period, I think they're all there. And I'm not sure if that, like, is, like, you know, parallel to Cruella's London, which is parallel to, like, Storybrooke, which is parallel to some things that are going on in the Enchanted Forest. So would end parallel to Oz. So, like, I don't know if it's a realm or if it, there's a lot of questions. I think we need, like, one big exposition episode, and I'd be willing to take it just for the sake of, like, clearing up where we are in the world and, like, who can come from where and whether or not we're going to be interacting with a bunch of these characters. Like, how is the Land of Untold Stories connected to Storybrooke? There was a portal, but like, is it just open so people can be like, hey, it's my week? So, like, we have the Count of Monte Cristo come in, and he's like, okay, this is my week. I'm here. Give me my story, and then I'm going to go away. And then are we going to have Morpheus just dream hopping in an episode and then going away? So I'm interested to see how these worlds are going to connect, whether it's like one big dump where everyone comes over at once and we kind of just forget that they're there until they're convenient, or is it more fluid where you can go back and forth between things?
Yeah. Either way, I'm excited that Odette Fair is going to be on the show, because, I mean, how did you not mention the Mummy when you dropped his name?
Because I forgot until right now.
Silently judging you, but not silently, because I'm definitely calling you out on it. No, it's fine. I just really like him from The Mummy, and I think that's pretty cool that he's coming to Once Upon a Time. I mean, random, but, you know, people need to work, so I guess there's that. But, yeah, I think it's really interesting that they're changing Jafar's, obviously. But I'm willing to let it slide if it's good, is basically what I've come down to. Because I liked small aspects of Wonderland, I'll admit that. But most of it was very questionable, especially by the end and then the subsequent non-incorporation of it into the main show. But if they can make this a good story, I'm totally willing to go with it.
I was trying to think of other people that we would like to see, because we have now this open book, basically, that's all blank. Like, we don't know who could pop in at any moment from any story. So I was just curious if you guys had, like, thought about anyone that you would like to see besides the whole entire Greek mythology book, Karen.
I was going to say, if they can redo Jafar, does that mean they can redo Meg and her 80s? Although I'd be kind of afraid of them taking it on again. But yeah, I mean, you basically called it Greek mythology for me. Please, please.
What about you, Kristen? Is there anyone that comes to mind just off the top of your head that you would like to see that's like maybe not a Disney property?
I was just trying to like think back to like classic literature, like maybe some female characters, because like with Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde and we've seen Frankenstein, and I was trying to kind of think back to to what could be lurking out there for us to dive into. I'm always so bad at predicting these. Like I can, you know, fairy tale wise, you know, I can kind of pull and play around, but when it comes to like classic literature stuff, like the Frankenstein reference, I was lost. Like, I'm just not so good at it. So I honestly don't know if there's anybody that I could like say I'd want to see, but I would hope that we could maybe get some more ladies from the classic stuff. Like, we tend to dive into the male stories, and with Aladdin coming, that, you know, we're getting Jasmine, but you know, Meg was kind of a second thought. I hope Jasmine's not, but who knows? So I hope that maybe we can find a female-centric classic literature heroine to kind of slide into an episode here. That would be cool.
Yeah, and I should mention that Jasmine is Karen David from Gallivant, so that's pretty exciting. She's fantastic on Gallivant. She's like Gallivant's little like sidekick friend, not the princess. Yeah, I looked at a bunch of like tall tales and like other classics from around this time period, and there's no one that like sticks out where I'm like, yes, I need to see that person on my screen now. But I will be interested to see where they choose to pull from. So like, is it going to be a bunch of explorers who are like, hey, we're from like Jules Verne's novels and like stuff like that? So I'm not really sure who else could come in. I'm hoping that they do keep it small, though. There's so much potential here for them to like pull from obscurity, but I think one or two main people would be enough, as opposed to like we have all this material to play with. Let's, like, you right. know, story hop, like Laura, you were saying earlier. Like, that's just not fun anymore because right. we want to
and
see
at a certain
characters.
Point, like, is the Disney Corporation really hurting for people looking at their franchise? I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, yes, they do have a certain alligator incident, but they certainly made those poor decisions prior to the season and everything else that went on. Like, I don't know that Once Upon a Time and whatever they put up is going to draw people, I don't think, that much more or less to Disney merchandise that's very much out there. I mean, I think they've got a lot right now. They could continue to showcase what they've done and not constantly flip-flop around all over the place. I mean, I think they have to see it more as a show than a constant, you know, product placement vehicle.
Yeah.
Well, I always saw it the opposite way, in that Once Upon a Time was banking on the popularity of current Disney properties, in that, like, they did Frozen, not because Frozen needed the attention, but because Once Upon a Time could kind of bank on the attention if they incorporated Frozen into the show. Mm-hmm. That being said, I think that we all fell in love with Once Upon a Time in season one because of the original story, because they took stories like Snow White and Prince Charming and flipped them and made them their own. They didn't do that with Frozen. You know, they just told the story after what we had already seen in the movie, essentially. And that didn't feel as unique as season one of Once Upon a Time did. So I also want them to move away from the franchises and the big properties, but more so because I just think they do a better job when they take something small and put their own spin on it.
Yeah, I agree. Even, like, Pan was a little different. Like, you know, he was evil, and that was fun to watch. And even though Neverland was, it got a bit rough because I was tired of seeing them walk past the same fake ficus tree for a whole season and
right.
calling it a different part of Neverland. I was just really over that. The character work was there and it was good. So that's what I want to see this season. I don't care about being flashy and being like, oh, look at what we're doing this week. I want the character work to be executed well.
And I will say the whole like steampunk theme thing is new for them. So like it feels like what we'll see may be a little different, like costumey and, you know, kind of fun in that way. But hopefully, yeah, they don't story hop all over the place. And hopefully we can, you know, if they're trying to, you know, bring the series as a whole, like the season as a whole, into one story and make it more, you know, centered, then hopefully they'll do the same thing with the actual plots in the season.
Yeah, and to kind of, like, bring all of this full circle, we do have a couple of things that were confirmed. Emma is keeping her Dark One house, and so that means that Hook can finally stop living at Granny's and move in, which is exciting. They have also confirmed that that beautiful wedding dress in the background means nothing. So, well, Colin yeah. O'Donoghue said that.
Mm.
He's like,
I don't believe that.
He's like, guys, that's been in the window the entire time we've been filming. Like, so, but who knows? Who knows what it means? They are a very slow-moving couple, so
they are, you know. But let me tell you a thing about cinematography. You never put something like that in the background unless it means something. They didn't choose that willy-nilly. It might not happen for three more seasons, but it was there for a reason.
I'm not shooting it down. I'm just reporting the facts.
I wasn't yelling at you. I was yelling at Colin O'Donoghue because he can hear me clearly. He listens to this.
He does listen to this.
Mm-hmm. Seriously, Colin. Seriously.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, so those two are moving in together, which means they're going to get a lot of great gifts. Hopefully there's just an entire episode about their arguing over interior decorating. So, you know, like Hook accessible door handles and all sorts of stuff. So,
oh, and he wants leather couches and she's like, no.
Yep.
Oh my God. Somebody write a fic about this because I need it right now.
I'm sure it exists. And another couple that needs a couple more fix is Henry and Violet. Violet is sticking around, and we're going to learn a little bit more about her. As Kristen brought to my attention at the end of last season, Violet's story, she said that her parents were not from Camelot, or her mother was something. Her dad is originally from Connecticut, and that is a play on the... It's a Dickens story, right? It's the Connecticut Yankee and King Arthur's Court or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah. So she's going to be sticking around, and we're probably going to learn a bit more about her, but at least Henry will have a friend, maybe stop trying to destroy magic and being all mopey and useless. They need to give him a plot. Talking of character development, he needs something to do. He's the author, and like that means nothing, clearly. And he also broke a lot of, like, magic rules as the author, because I think he just didn't care anymore. Like, when he wrote that, you know, he could, like, all of a sudden have the crystal thing. I'm like, that's not... No, you're not supposed to do that. You're only supposed to record things. Now you're abusing your power, and we're going to have an issue. So that'll probably never be addressed, though, so don't worry about it. And, yeah, that's where we are with him. We have Belle and Rumpel still being awful together. Hopefully she'll push him through another time portal and we'll be able to cheer her on. But until then, we are just going to deal with what we have. She'll be out of the box, which is exciting because, like, you know, Emily Dillraven was on maternity leave, so they really, they actually had to write her into a box at that point.
She was, I know, right?
Not available on set.
I just keep laughing. It's a very fertile show.
Yeah.
Because I was not, Ginny Goodwin was also sort of, I guess she was not as pregnant as Emily Dillraven was.
But she was pregnant and they both gave birth. Emily Dillraven gave birth like as the show was wrapping and Jennifer Goodwin gave birth over the summer. So, yeah, now we have all these babies. Another thing that was reported is they're like, what about Neil? Does Neil have, like, any special powers? And he's like, Neil, okay, Neil's not going to be on camera that much because he's a baby and he's not that interesting.
Neil
is basically what Adam and Eddie said when they were asked about it. They're like, he's not going to be on camera because he's a baby and he's not interesting.
Yeah, they're not going to do that, like, soap opera-esque, let's age them up. Like, they're going to go away somewhere and then they're going to come back seven years earlier.
It's like, older. just assume he has a babysitter and be done with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he coos the rules. That's as good as it gets.
Okay, all of that being said, if we do not do a time hop for season 7 and have, like, Henry and baby Neil, like, bonding and him, like, teaching him things, I'm going to be really sad. Because I think that's, like, cool. Like, Henry could use a little sibling to, like, raise up. Like, I think that would be fun.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just
I agree. But it comes with the thing of, like, we need Henry to do something, and that is an interesting way to have Henry do something.
Yeah.
So,
sigh.
Yeah, it all remains to be seen. But that's all we know. That's where we're at. We have a lot of good feelings going into season 6, which I'm excited about because I haven't been excited about the show in a while, and I'm starting to get there, especially because the close of season 5 was so good. I thought that the casting of Mr. Hyde was brilliant. He is terrifying, and I am into it. So, bring it on, season 6. Do your worst, because it can't be any worse than season 5.
You say that now.
I know. Talk to me after the premiere.
Yeah.
Dum-dum-dum. Yeah, no, I'm seriously, like, very hopeful. Like, I would like to see, you know, at the end of the day, ABC is about making money, and Adam and Eddie certainly are creative people, and they bring other creative writers to the show. But at the end of the day, they do want, you know... Not that you constantly write to the fans, but fan pleasure is certainly a part of the equation of what's going on. And I think they would really have to be rather tone deaf not to realize that things didn't work out so well this last season. And the ratings also kind of bore that out. So I think they have to go back and say, what was working? What made fans happy? What were we good at? Did we stray from it too far? And to get back to the core of it. And I feel like it's also a place they've been before. I mean, Lost had its same growing pains with straying too far off of what intrigued fans. And hopefully they're going to come back to this.
Yeah, but they did not learn about Robin because they're not resurrecting him. They're like, nope, he's dead. Like, we're not. Yeah. We're not, you know, pulling like a random hook.
About that, if yeah, I feel like unfortunately he really did get the short end of the stick. But if they can just go back to some of those real core people, like as much as I was a huge Robin Hood fan, I think I could be okay with that. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
do we know, is Will totally out as well? Because I know that actor had some choice words for the show, and I wouldn't be surprised if he was not asked back. But I'm just curious if we have heard of anything.
Yeah, no, there's nothing on him. I think he was totally right to, like, you know, just not,
yeah,
be happy, because, you know, you're told something, and if you announce it and you say, no, stay tuned, like, Will's story's coming, and then you just ignore it and kind of don't do anything. Again, we don't know what happened with, maybe it was contracts, who knows. But, yeah, there's nothing on him for this. The only confirmed Wonderland things were the doctor and the fact that, like, they're somehow it's the Jafar thing will be connected, but we just have to accept that it's a different actor because of people getting jobs, because Wonderland was a horrible show. yeah, so that's about it for our pre-season 6 episode. We're going to be back on our regular schedule once season 6 premieres on September 25th, I believe it is. And we'll be back every week with some updates and awesome news and anything that's going on. So until we see season 6, I'm Brittany.
I'm Karen.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Laura.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.